And everyone can find a seat, that would be great. Hi, everyone. I'm Landon. My dad's speaking today. All right, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just this wonderful morning that we can just come together, worship together, and just call on your name, Lord. Thank you for giving me my earthly father who's led me so far throughout life. And just thank you again for being my Heavenly Father and someone I can always turn to and trust, Lord. I pray for those that don't have an earthly father or not a prominent earthly father who can lead them like my dad has led me. And I just pray that you can put on his heart something that can touch every single one of you, guys, every single person in this room and those who are watching online, Lord. I just pray for the people that are struggling, hurting, starving, Lord. I just pray that we can each come out of this church knowing one thing, that you're King, you're Savior, and that we can spread your light throughout our communities, our schools, our teams, whatever we're on, Lord, that we can just spread your light and continue to just continue the Great Commission and teach people about you and your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, throughout this message, I will be sharing poems. The poems will either reinforce or they'll foreshadow what we're going to talk about. So there'll be a few of them throughout this. We're going to start one, which will kind of, if you just want to listen to the poems, you'll actually get the whole message through the poems without me, you know, getting in the way. Hopefully you listen to scripture too if you're going to do that. But first one we're going to start out with is called Everything or Nothing. It's kind of the overall meaning of the what we're going to talk about today. Everything or Nothing. God is everything or nothing. Do you understand? Do you believe that? Do you open your hand? Are you willing to trust in something that you can't see? Will you bow down and surrender to be made free? Can you come to the altar, lay down your burdens and release? For only when you let go can you, through blood, find peace. God is everything or nothing. Will you choose to believe and follow? Or are you too content with a life that lacks meaning, a life that's hollow? Will you lift up your light even when it's dim? Do you trust in yourself or do you trust in him? Can you believe and comprehend that it doesn't depend on you, but the only thing that truly matters is that God is seen through? God is everything or nothing. Will you lay your life down in order that you one day can inherit a crown? Will you adjust to your life and die? Begin to see it doesn't matter why. Offering praise through the sun, the storm, the rain, and the wind. Willing to be his no matter where he descend. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if it is true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Through this message, I hope to show you the answers to three questions. Why do I exist? What is my purpose? And how do I live out that purpose? So to begin with that, we'll start out with the first question, which kind of relates to the question of why do I exist, which is called, who am I? And we're going to start that with a poem. Who am I? An age-old question which causes one to wonder why. Why am I here? Why do all these answers to the questions seem so unclear? How can I be a success at what I try when I feel like a failure so often I'd wish I'd die? Why am I always told to stand up so tall when it seems I don't matter and I feel so small? Why do I have to suffer strife? What is my goal, my purpose in life? To laugh, to live, to cry, to die. Why do I exist? Let's start with the basic question I'm pretty sure at some point in time everyone in this room has asked. Why do I exist? The answer is found in the following verses, and we're going to dig into them. The first one is Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and all over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on earth. Number one, we are made in God's image. Number two, Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Now, this is where we get into this, one of the shocking parts, that we are actually made for his glory, not our own. Third one, Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, we just read that one. Okay. Just reinforcing that one. Okay. Ephesians 4:24. And I put on a new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of truth, living in a way that expresses to God the gratitude for your salvation. We are made in God's image to express our gratitude. Two things have been made clear through this scripture. Number one, we are made in God's image. Number two, we are to express gratitude. These are the answers to the question of why I exist. We are made in God's image, and we are created for his glory, which means by our very nature, we are to be reflectors. The point of being created in the image of God is that human beings are destined to reflect God. That's what images do. And the point of being redeemed by Jesus and renewed after the image of our Creator is to recover this identity and destiny. Now that we can see why I exist, we exist in his image and for his glory to express our thanks. We will now dive into what is the purpose for my existence. This poem is called The Writer of the Story. Do you believe the writer of the story? Are you willing to let go of your glory, to surrender and give it all to him, a light to the world that is not dim? Your choice is no longer centered on you, but with the hope that God has seen through, understanding and willing to pay the cost. Holding on to true north, you are never lost. A willingness to follow when it doesn't make sense. A willing to take a stand, no longer sitting on the fence. Now comprehending that when I bow down, it is only then that I truly honor the crown. What is my purpose? This is the question we'll be diving into next. Now that we have established that we exist for and are made in God's image, and we reflect and remind others of God's glory. An example of this would be the Lincoln Monument. What's the Lincoln Monument's purpose? For us to think, for us to reflect, to remind us of Abraham Lincoln and his accomplishments and of his glory. That is the purpose of a monument. That's the purpose of a statue. That's the purpose of a painting. They're image bearers that remind us to look back to the real thing. That is what we are. We are image bearers, and our sole purpose is to be image bearers of God. We are his masterpiece, created to get others to thank, to reflect, and remind others of God's glory. Will your mess be a masterpiece? What difference does it make? What do you do for Jesus' sake? What is your altar? Where do you bow? What is your priority? Where is your focus now? Where do you go for answers? What do you seek? Where do you bow down? How do you show your meek? Where do you go when you feel hollow? Where do you find the answer of who to follow? Can you see beyond the feelings of today? Can you take a stand? What do you say? Can you give up your glory? Can you trust his story? Will you follow when you can't see the path? Will you look to him when you can't do the math? Will your actions paint a picture of his love? Will your mess be a masterpiece pointing to God above? Here are some of the scriptures where to go over to get into that. Psalm 148:1-13. The whole creation invoked the praise of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host and armies. Praise him, sun, moon, praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters of heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord, the earth, the sun, the monsters, the sea monsters and all the deeps. Lightning and hail, snow and fog, stormy wind, fulfilling his orders. The mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and cattle, creeping things and winged birds, king of earth and all people, princes of all and all judges of earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children, let them praise the Lord, for his name is exalted and supreme. His glory and majesty are above heaven and earth. Next is Psalm 106, 7 through 8. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand nor appreciate your miracles. They did not remember the abundance of your mercies, nor imprint your loving kindness on their hearts. But they were rebellious at sea, at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesakes, that he might make his renown, his power renowned. Isaiah 42, 5 through 9. The God who created the cosmos, stretched out the skies, laid on the earth and all that grows from it, who breathes life into earth's people, makes them alive with his own life. I am God. I have called you to live right and well. I have taken responsibility and I have kept you safe. I have set you among the people to bind them to me, that you provide as a lighthouse to the nations, to make a start at bringing people into the open, into the light, opening blind eyes, releasing prisoners from dungeons, and emptying dark prisons. I am God, that's my name. I don't franchise my glory. I don't endorse no God idols. Take note, the early predictions of judgment have been fulfilled. I am announcing the new salvation work. Before it burst on the scene, I'm telling you about it. Psalm 135, 13. Your name endures, Lord, your renown, Lord of all generations. Luke 2, 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. And Ephesians 4, 24. And put on a new self, the regenerating and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in righteousness and holiness of truth, living in the same way expressed to God your gratitude of your salvation. We see in Psalm 148, let them praise the Lord of the name that is exalted supreme. His glory and majesty are above heaven and earth. One of the ways for us to reflect God is by offering praise. We see in Psalm 106 that he makes his supreme power known, that just by reflecting God, who he is, we can make his great name known to others through what he does through us. In Isaiah 42, 5, 9, we are a lighthouse to the nations. We are a lighthouse, not only to warn of dangers, but also to show safe passage. Psalm 135, 13. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, the Lord of all generations, reminds us that the Lord endures forever, and we are his renown. Through sharing and talking about God, we are bringing him glory. Luke 2, 14 reminds us of the peace that he gives all who brings him glory. Ephesians 4, 24 reminds us that we are creating in God's image, Godlike, in righteousness and holiness and truth. And we're supposed to live in a way that expresses God's gratitude for our salvation. How we choose to live truly reflects him and his glory. John Piper, in his book, Desiring God, explains it like this. According to the text, Genesis 1, 26 through 27, creation exists for man. But since God made man for himself, like himself, man's dominion over the world and fulfilling his word is on display, an image putting forth of God. God's aim, therefore, was that all men would so act, and that he would mirror forth God, who has ultimate dominion. Man is given the exalted status of an image bearer, not so he may become arrogant and autonomous, as he tried to do in the fall, but that he would reflect the glory of his maker, whose image he bears. God's purpose in creation, therefore, was to fill the earth with his own glory. That is made clear, for example, in Numbers, when the Lord says, all the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord, and Isaiah 43, when God's people refers to those I created for my glory. Now, for those of you who are intellectual, that was for you. For everybody else, this is your part, okay? Okay, to simplify this down, we are a mirror. Mirrors have two sides. This one, which reflects, and this one, which does pretty much nothing. Okay? Okay. A mirror does reflect whatever I place in front of it. So some of you, looking around, will see yourself right now, correct? And some of us every morning look in this to see ourselves, okay? With a mirror, we have a daily choice. Do we put it on God and reflect Him and let that reflection be what we show? Or do we turn it towards ourselves, look at ourselves and say, hey, look at me. These are our choices that we take every day. Do we show our own pride, our own arrogance? Do we try to show others our glory? Do we try to remind them of who we are, how much we've done? Or do we reflect it back out and show God's glory and show everything He's done through us? We can't do both. We can either reflect ourselves or we can reflect God, getting out of His way, showing His glory and gratitude. Now, I know there's some people, they're still struggling, so for you that are visual learners, I do have an example for that, if you can come up. No. This is not going to work perfect, so I'll try it. Do it on both sides, and I'll explain, okay? No, it should work. Is it working, or is that in the way? Okay, so your side, this side got it? Okay. Okay, that side got it too. Okay. Okay, thank you. As you can see there, your perception lets you know what you're going to say. Because if you guys just look at this, it's a really funny looking dog. Okay? Which, by the way, we learned in dress rehearsal that if you spell it normally, it reflects dog. So that really went over. That's why you do a dress rehearsal, right? But sometimes we get confused, and I thought, hey, there's a lesson in that. Sometimes we get confused, and we go around showing a dog, us, rather than showing the God of the universe. And it's all about perception. What do you choose to see? What do you choose to show? Because it's a choice. We can go around saying, hey, world, look at me. You know I look good today? Or we can say, doesn't matter how I look. I'm going to show you God. And that is our choice. And our perception, how we start the day, how we choose to do things, is going to influence that greatly. Next poem's by chance called Perception. I know. Thought it fit really well. Your amazing mercy, your bountiful grace, yet we fail to stop and seek your face. Always too busy running from here to there, never taking time with you just to stop and stare. So busy doing this and that, that we can't possibly take time to see. A life so packed with what and where that we forget what makes us free. We have all but forgotten the God as we put pen to paper to daily write our story. A problem with our perception. Our lives are His story to be lived for His glory. Too many times we claim our lives as our own, limiting God and where He might want His seeds to be sown. For it is easier for us to bow down at the altar of convenience and ease than it is for us to truly give Him our hearts, our mind, our time, and seek Him to please. So, those two were really true the intro to get down to the basics of what the main message is about, which is how do I live for His glory? Now, here's where I may go like a hard swerve from what I've been doing to explain this to you. This is last February, we do with youth leaders, all the youth leaders get together, and we do a thing called One Weekend. And we all get together, all the different youth leaders, and they said, hey, we want you to pick your favorite story, and we want to share with a short message about it. So this was my favorite story. Needless to say, I didn't have to say somebody else had my story, okay? Okay. John 6, 1 through 13. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias. a large crowd was following him because they had seen signs attesting miracles, which he had continually performed on those who were sick. And Jesus went on the mountainside and sat up there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was approaching. Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd was coming toward him, and he said to Philip, "Where will we buy bread for these people to eat?" But he said this to test Philip, because he already knew what he was about to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii, 200 days' wages, worth of bread is not enough for each one to even receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down to eat." Now the ground was covered with abundance of grass, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, the same also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they had eaten enough, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up, and they filled the 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by all who had eaten. The little boy who gives the bread and the fish is my favorite Bible character. And you'll find out why. Because in this one, I have 3 poems I'll read throughout. First one's called, "Bring Your Bread and Fish. Bring your bread and fish to me, so that I might bless them and you truly see. Giving all you have to give is the only way to live. Give your 5 loaves of bread so that others might be fed. And allow God's miracle from above. Let me have your fish and bread. Let your heart by me be led. Allow the world to see you give it all away and question why you do it every day. For through their questioning and wondering, they may see there is only one way to be truly free." The first thing the boy in that story had to learn, God is in control. In verse 6, we read these words, "But he was saying this only to test him, for he himself knew what he intended to do." Jesus asked Philip the question about buying bread, not because he wanted a solution, but because he wanted faith. None of what was transpiring caught Jesus off guard. He wasn't concerned. He was in control. The boy with the 5 loaves and fish saw this firsthand. God doesn't need our money, our time, or the gifts that we possess to accomplish his mission. He isn't in heaven anxiously wringing his hands, wonder if they'll step up financially, or I wonder if they'll give that time to help me do this, my purpose. He's not throwing his arms up in expiration when we walk away from the mission. He doesn't go, "I can't do it now." No, God doesn't need us for his already victorious mission. But he does invite us to participate, to join him in victory. He is control, in control. And the boy learned it on that day. God is about multiplication. As the boy handed over his meal to the disciples and Jesus, he likely was wondering, which is the same thing we all wonder, what difference can such a small gift make? A little food in front of a large crowd. It would not be surprising if the boy assumed that his meal would be turned away because it really wasn't enough. His meal was small, and the need was so great. But Jesus took a hold of it, took a hold of that food, broke it into pieces, and the small meal turned into a feast that was more than enough to fill the stomachs of a crowd. He takes what is insufficient and uses it to accomplish his great purpose. Our God can take whatever we're willing to give, given in faith, and multiply its impact unfathomably in a ways for his mission. God is about multiplication, and the little boy learned that day. All I have to give. Laid before, my heart is bare. I have given myself to your care. Brokenhearted because of what has been said. Battered and bruised because of where I've been led. trying to keep my focus on the light, to stand firm, hang on, what is true and right. Knowing you are my escape during each sad day, no matter what may be said, to follow God is the only way. My desire is to give 5 loaves, 2 fish, all I have to give, the sacrifice to offer myself. My everything is how I live. Multiplication often requires trust and grace. At some point, the boy had to surrender the food he possessed. He couldn't keep it and give it to God. It was one or the other. He had to surrender it. At some point, he had to come with his terms and his heart is mine, that his food's not for me to hold. At some point, he had to determine that he was not the only one who gets to choose how the food was to be used. Was the boy hungry? Probably. He was there listening all day. Did the boy have doubts whether his food would be helpful? Probably. Did the boy wonder whether his needs would be met? Likely. But he surrendered the food nonetheless, without the answers. Only know that he was surrendering it to Jesus. Why would we release the possessions we hold? Trust. Trusting in God's grace to us and understanding that when we give it over, that he allows us to give grace to others. Giving and holding possession loosely requires trust. Trust that will God use the resources for his purpose. Trust that will God take care of our needs. The boy with the meal saw the few fish and loaves he held multiply into miraculous ways, but they had to be in Jesus' hands for that to happen. The small meal became great, but it took an act of trust to get the meal into Jesus' hands. Multiplication often requires trust and grace. The boy learned that day. Multiplication often requires sacrifice. The boy had to make a sacrifice, much like the widow who gave two coins in a temple. The boy gave all that he had in his possession. He didn't keep, I'll keep a little bit back for me because I'm hungry. He gave everything. Nothing was left. He gave it and said, Jesus, here you are. And that act was likely a painful one. Maybe not physically painful, though if he was really hungry, it may have been physically painful. But mentally and possibly emotionally, the boy went from comfortable having sustenance to uncomfortable having no food. That is how sacrifice works. Sacrifice drives out comfort. You cannot sacrifice and be comfortable. In some way, the sacrifice has to make you uncomfortable. Not in all ways, but in some way for it to be a sacrifice, it has to make you uncomfortable. But sacrificial giving is what we find celebrated in the scripture. God looked favorably on Abel's offering because he sacrificed his best. God blessed Abraham when he was willing to sacrifice his son because he sacrificed his best. Jesus pointed out with the widow and the two coins, it was a great sacrifice because of all she had to give. Biblical giving is sacrificial. Biblical grace requires sacrifice. You can never offer grace without sacrifice. If you're offering grace, you're making a sacrifice. If you're not making a sacrifice and you think you're offering grace, you're probably not offering grace. Okay, simple rule. And God uses a sacrifice to shape a giver's heart and to advance his kingdom. Multiplication requires grace and sacrifice. And the boy learned that on this day. Multiplication is the result of God's work, not our work. The boy handed over his meal. There was certainly an act of trust and an act of sacrifice, but the boy did not feed the 5,000, nor did the disciples feed the 5,000. The boy and the disciples were only participants in what Jesus was doing. The people were fed by Jesus. Stomachs were full because of an act of God took place. Apart from this act, the people would have remained hungry. This act allowed the boy to participate in God's work. Same is true for us. When God wants us to turn to him with our possessions, our gifts, our emotions, a lot of times it requires a sacrifice and trust. But that will advance the kingdom. Even our scars can be sacrifices. if we're willing to give him for him to use. But most of us, when it comes to scars, we're like, yeah, I'll give you anything but those scars. Because I don't want you to use those. I don't want to have to relive them. You don't understand how painful it is. Isn't he the one that helped you through? Yeah, he gets it. You know, he was on the cross. You remember that? He had a pretty bad day leading up to it, too. He gets how bad a bad day can be. He is in control. We need to give up knowing that God is in control and that his work will cause a multiplication. When we eagerly seek and participate in his mission, he multiplies the bread and fish. Multiplication is a result of God's work, not ours. The boy learned this on that day. The boy with the 2 fish and 5 loaves learned a lot that day. He learned God is in control and that he is about multiplication. He learned that multiplication often starts with acts of trust and grace, and that grace always requires sacrifice. And he learned that while we certainly get to participate, it is all about God doing the multiplication. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Not enough to make a change. How can so little, when giving over, have such great range? 1 life, 1 death. What difference could it make? An innocent sacrifice given to pay a debt for your sake. Words easily said, but will your will be led? Or is it just talk? A life lived with your will sacrificed is so much more. It is a walk. 1 life lived for him. How much can that really do? That depends. Is it just words or a life given from you? Remember why you exist, to give glory to God. Remember your purpose as an image bearer of God, so that even though when you feel that you have so little, look to the boy with the two fish and 5 loaves. Remember what he learned that day. Trust God with your resources. Let them multiply your resources in ways you could have never imagined. And that let yourself live for his glory. Not dependent on man. Trying to understand your plan, understanding you're not dependent on man. Will I let you truly be the one to lead? Or do I want to be able to plant a seed? Stating I don't want to be hollow, but also struggling to learn to follow. Where is my focus? What is my goal? Only to follow or to be made whole? Am I willing to surrender and be real? To come, surrender, bow down, and heal? Let my scars be given for your glory, releasing my chain on his holy story. Understanding the author of the story is already here, and all he wants and seeks is to draw me near. Help me learn to willingly take my yoke, seeing that without God, I'm always broke. So one thing I want to share with you is this is not something I've learned and known forever. This is something I found out after being here at Branches. I joined a youth pastor's thing. We meet every Thursday, every fourth Thursday of the month. And one day they offered, hey, bring whatever gifts you have or whatever think you have, your gifts, and share them with us, because we'd like to know whatever his gifts are. So I brought my poetry, not thinking much of it. I've used them a little bit in at that point in time, I'd used it a little bit in youth, but I'd never used it anywhere else. And I still remember to this day, one of them going to me, that's the greatest gift you've been given. In anything you do, you need to lean into that. Because, Tim, you don't remember a single poem you've wrote. In fact, sometime when you read the words, you can see the shock on your face that you wrote it. He goes, when you've been given that type of gift, you don't keep it to yourself, or you're not following God. And I was like, ouch, thank you. And I'm like, what do you mean by everything? He goes, like anytime you speak, your poems need to be a part of it. He goes, because they're who you are, and it's your greatest gift. He goes, and if you don't share them, you're sharing something less than all you can give. And at that point in time, I realized, and trust me, when I first thought about it, I went, it's going to be very disruptive to the message because it'll just like train wreck it and you'll have to like jump and go back. And this is what I'm thinking, God, I don't know if this can happen. And, you know, I called one that had told me this and said, I don't know if you're right. And he's like, have you tried it? No, but on paper, he goes, how about you try it and then tell me? I'm like, okay. So I tried it and it worked and I went, okay, I guess you're right. But even me, who's read the story, and it, you know, obviously wasn't my favorite story until then, but once I got it, this became my favorite story, to understand that we're supposed to give everything we have to give. So for those of you who may not like poetry, I'm sorry, you have to deal with it every time I come up. But that's who I am. That's my greatest gift, so I want to share it with you. This ends a sermon. The rest is a PSA, okay? Public service announcement, okay? Because nobody asks this. No, nobody really wants to ask this. So now, how do I put that into action? And this is probably the part nobody wants to hear, okay? So it's just why I said the message is over. Now I'm giving you public service announcements. How can I begin this today? Well, it just so happens that you can begin today, learn to begin fellowshipping, learn to begin learning, that we have some current opportunities here at Branches. I know that shocks you, right? But due to the numbers we have regularly and the numbers in the opportunities, it kind of, the numbers just don't match up. So I'm wondering, you know, okay, you must not know, right? So here's me willing to be share. We do have some current opportunities to get plugged in. We have the Women's Bible Studies, which meets on Thursdays. We have the Men's Bible Study that meets on Mondays. We have the Next Gen Bible Study, which meets in a Bible to Life study on Thursdays. We also have youth group on Wednesdays. We have the Next Gen Bible Study on Fridays. We have Catalyst for Youth and College Age on Wednesdays. We have early morning Bible study before service on Sundays. And then we have, on Sunday nights, we have movie and discussion on Sundays, exploring Christian themes throughout movies. And then we also have on Sundays lessons in leadership, which is open to anybody in sixth grade and older who wants to learn. That is the only requirement. All you have to do is want to learn, okay? That's the only requirement for that one, okay? So, and if you just want to serve and you feel that none of that is really you, you have service opportunities, okay? You can be a greeter. You can be a communion helper. You can help with the worship team. You can help teaching on Sundays. You can help with meals on the first Wednesday of the month. You can help with the food pantry. You can help with recovery group once a quarter. You can help with the Good Neighbor Homeless Shelter. And we have grief share too, but you really can't help with that. You can go to that as a way to get involved, but you really can't help with that, okay? That'd be another growing opportunity. So if you're sitting there thinking, Tim, everything you listed, absolutely nothing applies to me, I have an answer for you too, okay? So there is nobody in this room that does not have an answer for them on how to take a next step. If your answer is, Tim, none of that applies to me, I really want something else, I'm like, great. Then let's you and me meet, and let's figure out how to get that into action so that we can truly create something that relates to everybody in this room and everybody can be fed. It's one thing to be here on Sundays, but you really don't get the fellowship aspect, except you get like 2 minutes of it on Hug and Howdy, but for some of you, you can tell that's not enough, and so I'm saying all these, even the Bible studies, have fellowship things involved in them. And I would tell you from the just being able to be involved in the Next Gen group, that where they were and where they are now, as far as friendships, there is a huge difference in them, okay? And the Men's Bible Study, from where they were and where the ones that regularly go are now, you know, they share stuff that they can't share in here because it's too painful. They're sharing stuff they can't share here because it's too personal. But they're given an opportunity. And I assume the same thing happens in the women's and all the other Bible studies. So my hope and prayer for you is that you will find a place to go the step beyond here, to go beyond sitting here and getting someplace where you're active and talking and sharing and learning to love and offer grace regularly. Unless you want me to preach, in which case I could do it differently, we could start asking questions from up here. So, okay. So we'll close in prayer, and then we'll close out, if you want to come forward. Dear Lord, we come before and we ask just a blessing on each one of us as we take this challenge and try to figure out the little 5 loaves and 2 fish that we have. Where, how, and when can we give them to you, Lord? We ask this in your name. Amen.